Before we kick off today's episode, I got something that could save you a ton of time this season. If you're a grassroots coach trying to juggle work, life, and soccer, Soccer Coach Weekly is an absolute game changer. Since 2006, they have been trusted by coaches from all over the world, delivering fun, ready-to-go drills that keep players focused, learning, and loving the game, even when you're short on time. And here's the best part. Chat by the Pitch listeners get 50% off a full year of premium access. Just click the link in show notes and use the promo code EN50 at checkout. That's EN50 for half off. Plan fast, coach smart, Soccer Coach Weekly.
Ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them. And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This is part two with Sam Junka. I'm not going to say too much more. I'll save it all for the end of this episode, but I really appreciate, once again, Sam coming on and taking time for me. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch. So now as we move on, let's go on to your, well, I appreciate your time here. Your rights were bought by FC Dallas, and I felt like you had a phenomenal career here. I feel like FC Dallas got the raw end of the deal with this trade that when you left, but we can get to that later. Your time at FC Dallas, this is when I messaged you last season and reached out to do an interview with you because I liked who you were as a player and the way you carried yourself. So how was your experience playing in Dallas? Obviously, you have future family here in Texas, from the sounds of it, in Denton.
Yeah.
And was that kind of a moment for you to make that decision to play here in Dallas, or was there other opportunities before Dallas got into the deal for you?
Yeah, first of all, at the time that deal was happening, there were a couple other MLS teams that were interested, but the most likely opportunity in my eyes was actually Salt Lake. I thought I was going to end up here. Things just didn't work out, the timing of it, and Houston delaying things. I mean, Salt Lake just pursuing another opportunity, another option. I didn't think it would actually work out with FC Dallas, but it ended up working out, and it was a really fun time in my career playing for FC Dallas and playing in the area where my fiance has so much family. The club had just had a really nice feel to it as well. People who had been working for the club for 20 years, 25 years, just a lot. It felt a lot more family oriented and kind of down to earth compared to the kind of the turmoil that I experienced in Houston Dynamo, where there was just so much turnover, even in positions that don't normally have turnover, like the equipment manager. That changing multiple times is not normal. That felt really good. I enjoyed the players I played with, the coaches that I worked with, and it was just a really refreshing time of my career after kind of the experiences that I had towards the end of my time with the Dynamo.
I'm glad you had a good experience coming here and playing here and having support of family and whatnot while you're here, which is so important. As you were playing here, did you see you as a player evolve more? Because like you said, you were in this weird split, I'll call it a weird spot, unhappy spot with the Dynamo, and coming here, were you able to, so to speak, stretch your wings and actually flourish? Or was this a moment where you had that moment to clarity, and the moment to clarity allowed you to have that flash in the pan and the body caught up? Or was it vice versa, out of curiosity, as someone that has watched you play on the field?
I felt like over the years that I've matured as a player and become more consistent, and instead of just having good moments, I feel like I was able to become a player that would play more consistently throughout 90 minutes and from game to game. I think that's something that I was lacking even when I played a lot of games in 2021, the first season that I played a lot. Initially, in my first season with FC Dallas, I didn't start too many games. It was more than the previous year, and I played in a number of different positions, just kind of filling in where I could to get on the field. And then in 2024, last year, I got a lot of minutes and was playing consistently. It was consistently at left center back in the back three, but then Nico leaves, and then I wasn't playing as much, and I started playing wing back instead and got to show a different side of my game. I think the same thing kind of stayed, where I felt like I was more mature and more ready to be playing back-to-back games, being more consistent throughout the season.
As someone sitting in the stands, we were always disappointed if you didn't start and if you didn't go in. We always wondered, like, why is he not going in? It's one of those things, as a fan, we don't understand what the coach is thinking. And I know that you went through a coaching change and them trying to figure out that season. And that's really hard. I think there's a lot of changes coming with the current manager involved, so to speak. And so now you're at Real Salt Lake. And was it a surprise for you to be traded? Or is this something that they come to you out of curiosity? So we all understand. I know sometimes it's a surprise, but would they come to you and say, hey, are you interested in this? Or they come to you and say, this is what we're doing? Because I know how it's in Europe, how it's done sometimes. It's, this is what we're doing. And
it's, let's see. So it's not always a surprise, but in my case, it was. Unlike in Europe, our contracts are all with the MLS, the entity of MLS. And so it can be transferred from team to team. The difference in Europe is a team can only try to force you out. They can't actually force you out. They can pay you off and say, we'll give you 70% of your money, just leave. Or they can say, you're going to train with the second team or the academy until you leave, or you're going to train on your own. But they can't actually force you to leave. and you can say, I'm going to get every dollar that you guys owe me and I'm going to stay here another 2 years. The difference in MLS is that you can be traded without you knowing. And that's what happened where I was on vacation with my fiance and I knew that Salt Lake was interested because they had reached out saying to my agent that they were going to try for a trade. But my understanding was that Dallas wasn't interested. And then I didn't hear anything about it for a little while. And then suddenly I get a call from my agent and I was thinking to myself, looks like Salt Lake might be back in the picture. And I'll give my fiance a heads up, pick up the phone. And he's like, all right, you just got traded to Salt Lake. You're a Salt Lake player. And I was like, whoa. Then we skip a step. I was surprised. I thought it'd be more of a question of like, would you want to go? Like, this is what it looks like. But it was just already done at that point. And we were shocked at first. And then over time, we got more excited thinking about, for me, working with a coach that I had a good experience with, going to a team that had some stability and success over the past couple of years. Thinking about living in Salt Lake, it's something that we thought we might be doing 2 years prior. And so we had kind of looked into the area and it's really beautiful here. And so progressively, we got more excited about it after that initial shock.
How do I describe it? As you've gone through your preseason and playing, how do I describe it? How was your preseason going? And then how was it going into the regular season? I know you were really busy in January when we were talking originally for this interview, and I know the season just creeps up and you're just crazy because everyone's readjusting and realigning with everyone, because Salt Lake had, I think, some somewhat quasi big changes with them over the off season. So how was that adjustment for you and the preseason go for you?
Yeah, it was busy partially because we were out of market a lot. It's obviously very cold here and in January, February. And so they try to go to warmer climates and meet up with other teams to do friendlies. And so traveling a lot in and out of our different hotels, and didn't end up settling into the place that I'm living now until sometime in March. I was alone. My fiance didn't meet up with me until kind of mid-March, but it was all good. It felt like a quick adjustment. I got along well with the guys and I felt like I had a good preseason. I felt appreciated by the staff and the club, and I had a good experience.
Everyone here in Dallas knows the culture here in Dallas. So how's the culture there in Salt Lake, since we're not part of that that community there? Compare and contrast a little bit, if you would like, if you don't mind.
At the club or in the city of Salt Lake?
The club.
Mm-hmm. So I would say it felt like last year there were a number of things going on, but the team didn't quite have an identity and we weren't sure kind of who we were or who we wanted to be. In Salt Lake, I felt, even just watching from the outside, that I could tell it was a very resilient team that had grit and kind of weathered the storm in games that they had. It didn't seem like they had any business winning. Like the one in particular that I always mention is I watched the playoff game they had away at Seattle, and I don't think they had a single shot in the 90 minutes. Went to PKs and they ended up winning. And so they just kind of weathered the storm and then they ended up winning and they made a deep run in playoffs that year and had a good run. I always felt like that's a sign of a good culture, a cohesive unit, a strong team. And now being here, I've experienced it firsthand and see that it's not by accident. It's what is emphasized here and from the top down. I feel like the club has a strong identity of having grit.
Grit's an important thing. So now we're going to talk about the city culture. I think Dallas is a little bit more critical because I feel like we're a hyper-focused soccer community. mm-hmm. at least at the sport youth level. Do you find the fans to be more welcoming? Nothing against us, Dallas, here in Dallas.
Yeah.
It is a different culture, but I know Dallas is very family oriented compared to other markets in the United States. But how did you feel welcomed coming to Salt Lake and playing with the community? Because I think that kind of helps a team build chemistry.
I've felt quite welcomed by the city and the fans. And yeah, I feel like in the soccer space, Salt Lake has a different identity than Dallas, but I've found that there's still a lot of people who are passionate about the game and passionate about Real Salt Lake. And it's evident at the games where we get good attendance and the atmosphere is good. And we have some passionate fans here too.
Good to hear. So I have to pause for a minute. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Easier dead out dead space than it is me rambling.
Yeah, no worries.
As you've been, you said you've been able to go back and play for a coach that you played with previously. Was it able to quickly jump in and understand, I guess, the vibe in the within the team because you had this former relationship with him, previous team, and understand his mentality and having a little bit of a gap? Did he evolve like you have evolved? And do you see the maturity between the two of you? That I might be a better way of putting it.
I'll say that he's very similar to what I remember from my time in Houston, players coach and someone that's very enjoyable to play for. His role is obviously different being a head coach compared to an assistant coach. And so naturally you see him taking the reins more and you see more of what, you know, his philosophy is, but a lot of it is just in line with what I knew of him in Houston. It's just kind of, I see more of it now that he's a head coach. And yeah, I felt like in some ways picking up where we left off. I'd only worked with him for a year, but I had a good relationship with him and it felt like we were picking back up.
It's awesome. So now, as the season's moving forward, I'm not doing it. I know that I personally try to watch because I try to watch the players I like that have left FC Dallas mm-hmm. because I like to follow their path and their journey because there's a connection for me. Watching your game so far this season, I've always been very impressed. Do you feel like the quality of play that you're having currently, are you able to play to your feel like your potential? Or are you playing beyond your potential? Because I feel like at times, when the environment's wonky, going from, you know, you start off with Houston to FC Dallas, you have your freedom back, and then now you're playing for a familiar coach and a different environment. Do you feel like you're able to progress differently than you were here in Dallas because it's a different environment?
All right, a quick break. This one's for my fellow grassroots coaches. We all know how tough it is to keep every kid engaged and still running a great session when time is tight. That's why I'm excited to partner with Soccer Coach Weekly. Since 2006, they've helped over 50,000 coaches, parents, teachers from all over the world. And here's the best part. As a Chat by the Pitch listener, you can get 50% off a full year of premium access. Just click the link in the show notes and apply the code EN50. And again, that's EN50. For 50% off. Plan fast, coach smart, Soccer Coach Week.
I would say I feel like I have a little bit more freedom to express myself within the setup here. And I think that the way I'm asked to play in my position here, it suits to my strengths. I feel like I'm playing at a good level. I think that I always feel like I can give more and I'm always trying to unlock that and to give more, to do more. But I feel like I've already been able to show some of my quality in this beginning part of the season.
As you have progressed into this, do you feel that your trajectory, I don't know how to describe it, your trajectory within the MLS has been one of these that has always, I call it the tornado. I don't care what level you play at. It's a forward progression, but you're doing a tornado along the line. And do you feel like you have, or was it more of a ups and plateaus for you throughout your career so far? Because looking at your career, looking at stats, looking at earlier playing days, I'll be honest, like, you're one of the few guests I've done research on just because you played here and I was curious about all the FC Dallas players. So watching you highlight videos and clips that you've had throughout the years, do you feel like you were just on a constant upward trajectory even during Houston Dynamo? Because it may be a personally a rough time, but player wise, I thought you did well above average. And then playing at FC Dallas, I thought they were dumb. Like, I'll flat out tell, if I ever met Dan Hunt and the Clark family, I'll tell them that they were dumb for getting rid of you, but that's a personal opinion. But you have done so well over the years, and looking at your trajectory, looking back, what are these moments that you're having and the memories that you're having? Because you transitioned from different roles at FC Dallas, you played multiple roles. Do you think those things align the stars for you to be where you're at today? It's a long-winded way to get to that question.
I would say I've always felt like my career has trended upwards, but it's never been a straight line. It's always been ups and downs, take two steps forward, one step back, that kind of thing. And so I try not to freak out too much when I do take that step back, because sometimes it feels like, oh, it's all downhill from here. And sometimes it's hard to have that perspective in that moment. I've always kind of felt like throughout my career, things have worked out one way or another, and it's worked out for the better. And so I've just tried to have faith during those times that would be the case. And let's see, what was the second part of that question?
I don't remember. It was a long-winded question. Yeah. Like, it was just talking about your trajectory, like how you feel like you're moving, because at the end of the day, all the stars align, because you played multiple positions here.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to see your take on it, because it's a fascinating trajectory that you've had in your career so far.
Yeah. I feel moving around in different positions and being versatile, it's a blessing and a curse. Sometimes I could use a little bit more stability. Sometimes I feel like I'm moving out of a position that suits my strengths more because the team maybe has another player that could play in that spot, but they don't have a player that plays in a different spot where they could use me. I think that throughout the years, playing in different positions, adapting to different things, I've been able to highlight different parts of my game, different skills of mine, and been able to market what I can do as a player, different positions and different sides of the ball. I think that now it's culminated into me playing for a team that plays in a way that I like. Because sometimes I feel like I can play the way the coach wants me to, the club wants me to, but it's not necessarily the way that's best suits me, but I can do it. Now it feels like I'm in a situation where I'm really excited about the opportunity because I'm playing in a system that uses my strengths, and I feel like I'm able to help the team more because of that.
That's important. So just a side tangent on that. Do you advise these young players and these parents to understand having a multi-purpose player, a utility player, or would you recommend them homing in on at a certain point in their playing career, if it's college or what I call U15 or older, the phase to win in youth academy or youth age, in on one or two positions? Or do you think if you're a defender, being able to understand how to play midfield and all the defending roles or in midfield roles versus just being a left back or a center back? Because as a parent, I'm always advocating for my kid to try every position so he understands. If not, he's 11, but that's a different story. But
yeah,
so parents understand, like, when you get ready for college, is it more important to have that multi-tool versatility or to be talented in one area. I don't know the right answer still.
Yeah.
But still trying to figure it out.
In my opinion, I think especially when you're young, it's very important to play different positions. And then as you get older, I think in general, you want to start honing in on maybe a position that might be your best position, but you can still play other positions and if that's needed. And a perfect example of that is in MLS, teams aren't typically looking to draft a player that's a number 10 or even a forward. Like, it's very hard to break into a team when those are the positions that teams have DP then, even winger. And so I've seen so many players who have just been asked to play. A lot of players that are wingers, they get converted, or midfielders, they get converted to outside backs because those are positions where they're willing to play these draft picks, give them a chance, and they have a need. There's less of a need in the top more attacking positions, the number 10, winger, forward positions. And so for the players that were unable or unwilling to adapt, that was sometimes the end of the road for them in terms of their MLS opportunity, and they pursued other opportunities from there. I think there are a lot of players who are in MLS currently who got converted to the position that they're playing now, and it led to them getting their opportunity.
Which leads me into my question. So what has been the most pivotal moment right now for you in your career? You've been in since, 2019? So you're going on 6 years in the MLS. What has been the most pivotal moment for you as a player to see yourself? The pivotal moment to give you the momentum to keep on going to play? Because I've always been told we need to teach kids how to play the game so they can survive the sport once they get to the sport. And what was that moment for you so far?
I would say that was, in preseason, I was starting in 2021, and then I ended up getting a concussion in the last preseason game just before the season opener. I was out for a little bit and had some difficulty coming back. I was just having headaches and migraines. Didn't know what was going on, if I was recovered or not from the concussion. It ended up taking a bit longer than a typical concussion to come back from. And when I came back, I ended up getting the opportunity to play away at LAFC. And I remember one of my teammates telling me, if you play well, you're going to play this season. And maybe that's true. That sounds great. I want to play well, obviously. And it was my first game of that season, and kind of thinking, if I don't play well, am I going to get more opportunities? But I thankfully played well, and I ended up getting a lot of opportunities. And I think it was a catalyst for me having my best season yet at that moment and having my first season as getting consistent playing time in MLS.
Awesome. Now, as we shift a little bit more towards advice and insight here, as you have had your career now, I mean, you're 28 years old. What has been the most important habits and skills that you have acquired or qualities you have acquired over the years to help you be who you are today? Because at the end of the day, I think that's something that's important for everyone to know and understand, because everyone's different, but what you've done might help someone else.
I would say one thing that has shaped the person I am today and the player I am today is practicing mindfulness. I like to do breathing exercises, meditation, journaling, just all sorts of stuff that kind of bring me back to the present. And I think that really helps me in the heat of the moment, in games and important situations, to stay grounded and stay level-headed. I feel like, as you've described what you've seen playing me, or me playing, that comes out of my playing, and that's been something that's been very helpful for me.
So I have to ask about journaling, because this is something that I have learned a lot about recently. Did you always journal, or was this something that you've learned at what phase in your playing career?
I started journaling around high school, but I don't know when. I think sometime when I was playing professionally, I think, is when I started to consistently journal any nerves I'm having, just put it out there on the page and slow my brain down from, you know, all the thoughts I'm having to being more coherent and more logical and part of my pregame routine for a while now.
You talked about mindfulness. This is, I tell everyone, I've literally spent pretty much the whole entire time I've started my podcast focusing on sports psychology. It's a huge part of the game. I've decided that everyone says the game is, most sports are 90% mental and 10% physical. I'll say it's probably 20%. I feel soccer because no one's naturally, but eye contact is not like their eye-hand coordination. Yeah. But how have you realized that the mindfulness, the breathing, those exercises, you talked about it journaling, like getting those feelings out and getting those, maybe whatever you want, pregame jitters or nervousness out. What advice would you give younger players to start this? Because as a parent, my kid is very anxious. It's just naturally who he is.
Yeah.
And it's trying to teach them how to be mindful. And what advice would you give parents that are having players coming up and growing up to help them, that has helped you? We talked about mindfulness, journaling, and breathing. What else has helped you in that area? Because it's a hard topic to break through.
Yeah. First of all, I would say that it's completely normal and okay to have nerves and pregame jitters. And you'd be surprised that doesn't change as you get older, doesn't change as you become a pro. It's just a natural thing that most people experience, and that it doesn't have to be seen as something you have to get rid of or something negative. And in fact, I try to reframe it to look at it as being more of a positive thing. It's kind of me getting up for the moment. It's not just feeling nervous and anxious. It's also excitement. It's something that's important to me, and it shows in the nerves that I'm having surrounding that. What was the other part I was going to say? Can't remember the second part I was going to say, but basically that it's normal. You don't have to get rid of it. And I was going to say the pressure that you feel that's leading you to have these nervous feelings, that's all a privilege, because if you're just playing Sunday league or something that doesn't matter, you're not going to get nervous. And the fact that you are getting nervous means that you're in a position of privilege to be playing in something that matters. And so just trying to embrace the pressure and reframe it to be a positive thing is what I would recommend.
Okay. I think that's very helpful, because at the end of the day, most parents don't want their kids nervous. They don't want them. And I was always told I had a friend and he played professional baseball. I remember him telling me, if the day that you go out on the baseball field, and I was in high school, he goes, the day that the nerves are gone, you need to quit playing the sport. Mm-hmm. And he goes, that means you're no longer in the moment, that you're just, your head's too big for yourself. And it was, like you said, it's like, it's a privilege to have those moments. I like how you phrased that. And I'm grateful that you said it that way. Looking at what you're doing now, is there anything you do off the pitch to keep yourself mentally prepared or physically prepared for coming up? It's a grueling season that you all play. I mean, it's, what is it? 20 plus games. What is it? I'm trying to remember.
It's a lot. 34 regular season games.
Then it's almost 42 after playoffs.
Yeah. Cup games, playoffs, all those things on top of that.
How do you project your upcoming season to look? You don't want to jinx it or anything, but do you feel like it's moving in the right direction? You can put it in that preference.
Yeah. I think that the results haven't always been there for the team, and maybe I'm not yet playing as consistently as I'd like to, but I feel like I'm building up to it. The team is as well. And I have a good feeling about the season. I think that personally and collectively, it's going to be a really good season.
Now, you're looking at this season coming up, and how, for kids that are looking at it and taking a step back, and with the season going, how do you advise, I'm trying to think how to phrase this. Let me pivot here a little bit and talk about more advice for kids, just because the area I want to talk about right now. What advice would you give kids that want to approach the MLS or play professionally at some point in their career, if it's after collegiate or straight into the pros?
I like recommending advising kids to really just keep enjoying the sport. I think that the rest of it really comes naturally from there. What led me to be so passionate about the sport and to spend so much time practicing and playing was being inspired by these players that I looked up to, that I mentioned, Zlatan, Cristiano Ronaldo, Ronaldinho, and just working on freestyle moves and tricks in the yard and playing with the ball. Those are things that I think were a huge part of my development, and that wouldn't have happened and wouldn't have continued had I not been having fun. And I feel like the times that I've played the best in my career have been times that I've been enjoying it. Yes, at a certain point, you want to become more serious and disciplined about the sport, but I think that you can never lose that, you know, that fun that you have for the game and the joy you have for it.
Now, with the upcoming, let me start over. What goal, I'll go back because we're just talking about kids. What goals should they start setting now, even for parents to understand? Because at the end of the day, drive has to come from within them. But what goals should kids start looking to have for themselves to hit that point?
I think because it's really difficult, I think it's good to have some bigger, loftier goals that you're aiming for, but I think it's good to have short-term goals that you're trying to check off and you're trying to hit to keep yourself on track and kind of to see the progress in real time. I think that that differs for everybody, but breaking down that journey into kind of bite-sized pieces, some smaller ones that are can track your progress.
With the upcoming year, I mean, we have a lot. My day job, we just announced that we're partnering with the World Cup. What are the things that you're looking forward to for the World Cup, and how would you like to be part of it, part of the World Cup?
First of all, I think it's really cool that the World Cup is going to be in the U.S. or in the Americas and in Canada. That's really exciting. You always see kind of excitement build leading up to it and even lasting after it, lasting effects. And I think that's going to have a big impact on the MLS. I would say I've always dreamed of playing in a World Cup. I think that as I've gotten older, there's a lot more uncertainty about that coming to fruition, but things changed quickly in soccer. I would say it's never over until it's over. It still remains a dream of mine to play in the international stage.
You have plenty of talent to get there. I'll say that much.
Thank you.
For young players here, what would you advise players or skill sets or tools to use to make them stand out for their future?
I think that it's important to know yourself, know your strengths, and to work off those strengths. You don't have to be good at everything. You just have to be good at whatever is required of you. And to really hone in on your strengths and really master those, and because those are really what are going to stand out. Nobody praises a player for being average at everything. So I think you really want to have a couple of things that you're really stand out, and you want to be good enough at the rest.
That's awesome. My favorite question to ask everyone that I interview, I don't ever send this to anyone. Who has been the greatest influence on you as a player? You've had 28, you've been playing for about 22 years now. And who has been the greatest influence? It can be multiple people, it can be one, but it's whoever you want to give a shout out to at this point.
I would say it's been my parents. They've just been such a huge part of my journey. Even now, I always... My fiance is giving me a glance. I love you too, Emma. They were there from the beginning, and they really encouraged me to pursue my dream. And without them, I wouldn't have been able to achieve what I've achieved. From driving me to soccer training to always saying yes to the tournaments that I had, the travel and all those things, the support when I needed it. And there have been many moments like that where I've really needed it in my career, and I've always been able to lean on them. They've just played such an important part in my career that I could never truly fully express what they've meant to me in my career. Although there have obviously been plenty of other people other than just my parents that have made a big impact in my career.
Hey everyone, I hope you enjoyed this last part of this series with Sam Junka. Sam, to me, is the ideal athlete that we want our players to be looking up to. He is a great role model. He does a lot in the community, not just off on the pitch, but off the pitch. And as a player, he's so much fun to watch. He is always hustling, always working hard. He's a brilliant young man that has a great degree in economics. So he's not just smart on the pitch, he's smart off the pitch. And this is why I think he's a great role model for our players. As I was doing this interview, there was so much I learned about him as an individual and some of the coolest things that he shared. And I hope you take what he has and can share it with your player or let them listen to this two-part series and let him help guide your player possibly. I think it's cool that he got to play with one of his idols, which was Sebastian Legette, and not just play with him, but be his teammate. And listening to his story of the struggles he had as a player and coming up through the MLS and making it, and now he's up in Real Salt Lake. As a fan for FC Dallas, I'll always tell Dan Hunt he made a mistake because I think he's a great player. And he works hard, and I think he fits into almost every system out there, in my humble opinion. But that being said, I don't want to take away from his story, his what he shared, and how open he was about his experience. And I hope you take this to heart and listen to what he has to say about his journey and where it took him and how it went, and that it's not always easy, that you have to work hard.
Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.